I know Joe's going to introduce himself, but I'm going to just say I love this brother. He's a friend. We've known each other for 12 years now. It seems like the time has flown. And Debbie and I first met him in 2010 in Kona, Hawaii. And I remember when the Lord called him to go to the Philippines, and we thought, okay, just pump the brakes on that. This is a big commitment. But over the 12 years, seeing how the Lord has led him and his steadfastness in being obedient to the Lord. So I've asked him to share this morning a little bit of his testimony, but also what the Lord has laid on his heart for us as a congregation. And I know we're going to be blessed. So I want to pray for you, and then I'll turn it over to you. So, Lord, we thank you for Joe. I thank you, Lord, for that you're Christ in him is the hope of glory. And I thank you, Lord, that he is in Christ. I thank you, Lord, for your spirit in him, the presence of God that flows through him. And I pray, Lord, that as he speaks to us today, you'd give him peace, you'd give him freedom, and that we would hear from heaven. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Can you hear that? Can you hear me? Can you hear the static? You guys okay with static? I'm okay with static. Are we okay with static? I'll just keep talking and we'll work with it. All right. Okay, we'll work it out. So it's been super cool being part of, I live in the Philippines, so I'm like online and watching the sermons and emailing with some folks here, and so I feel connected even though you guys never see me. And so it's been, it's helped me through COVID times, being isolated and things like that. So thanks for making the effort for the online stuff. I know it's extra work. And I think we got some slides going. So I wanted to just show this picture because Athel and Debbie haven't aged a bit. But as you can see, I wanted proof that at one point in my life I had a full head of hair. If you could even spot me in there, I think I'm sitting down, but I kind of have a thick, kind of had thick hair back then. That was like 12 years ago. So, raise your hand if you know Matt. Yeah. All right, there's a lot of Matt fans here. So this is one of the most foolish things I've ever done in my life, and it was with my bunkmate, Matt. So he was the top guy. We were at the YWAM base, and I got to hear him snore, and we went on fun trips, and we almost got swallowed by lava. And I think actually that's when my hair started falling out because you could see it was starting to melt, the follicles or something. There's a whole story behind that, but I'll tell that another day. So I just wanted to have a little fun with those pictures, but I miss Matt and I do miss those days. So it's so great being here. But okay, because of time, let's get moving. So just a little bit about me. So I was born in Chicago. My last name is Valentino, half Italian. Then I got some German. I grew up as a kid, liking building stuff. I saw the Lego thing, so, you know, just loving just, you know, typical kid stuff. Nature, sports, baseball, football, basketball, that kind of stuff. Dad coached my team, and so I have some fond memories, but around age 11 is when life started falling apart for me, and my parents got divorced. I was the older brother. I have a brother 6 years younger, and responsibility fell on me, so all that fun stopped, and I had to take care of him while my mom worked. And so my tank, little by little, got low as far as what my parents were able to pour into me. So I didn't know it at the time, but looking back, it's clear. And so not high self-confidence and not much security in life. And so around teens, got into trouble, started getting into some drinking, some drug use, and was spiraling big time, and got to a point, I don't know why, but I just said a prayer one day to God, and I said, if you're there, I just want to know. I just want to know if there's a God. And if there was no answer, I was going to go, there was this friend group I was starting to get involved with, and they were inviting me to do the harder stuff. And I just felt like if I went that way, I wasn't coming back. Felt like I was at the edge of a cliff. So I just said this prayer, and I made a deal with God. I'll pray the rosary. I grew up Catholic. I knew how to pray the rosary. I was going to crack the Bible open, which was on the shelf, and I was going to go to Mass. I didn't do any of it. Didn't have time. And so I can't remember how many days after that prayer I was in the mall, and a stranger came out of the crowd and told him that God sent him to tell me that God was real. And he, yeah, true story. And told me his testimony. I didn't know people did that. And told me that God changed his life. He used to do drugs. He said he'd pray for me. His name was Joel. Shook my hand and he just disappeared into the crowd. And I was just, I didn't know what had happened. And it happened again. I was working at a lumber yard and loading a guy's truck. And a guy started telling me about Jesus, handed me a little, those little tracts, which I now know they're called tracts. I didn't know it was called a tract, but told me the gospel. And I tucked it away and at my house. And then there was the third thing God did is put a guy at work who was very evangelistic, very open about his faith. His name was Dale, tall guy with a mustache, and answered all my questions. I was like, I know this guy knows God, so I would ask him all the hard questions. You know, why is there hard stuff in the world? Where did God come from? That kind of stuff. And Dale was very mild-mannered and turned out to be a Moody Bible Institute teacher. And but he had a part-time job as the gate guard. He was the guy checking the people coming in and out of the lumber yard. And very out of character, one day Dale looked at me and he said, and it just felt like God himself spoke this to me in that moment. He said, Joe, he goes, you need to make a decision. And when he said that, it's like I just knew I had the answer to my prayer, you know, and it's the prayer, all that, what was happening, and I just, the Holy Spirit convicted me. I was on the fence, and now I got to decide. And so I went home, pulled out one of those tracks. I had two. The other guy gave me a track, and it was a Billy Graham track that explained the cross, and I never heard the gospel. I had never heard that Jesus died to make the way for me to have my own relationship with God, prayed the sinner's prayer, felt the Holy Spirit enter my body, had quite a strong experience, and then was all in with God. And so what I did was said a prayer, like, well, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Open up the newspaper, and it almost this one ad just kind of lifted off the page, and it was to be a special education assistant. And other than that, I wanted to be a fireman, and I wanted to be a truck driver. I was doing truck driver and kind of construction work. But it made no sense to me, but I went to the job, had that overwhelming sense of peace, and through a course of events, I ended up getting a master's degree teaching special ed for 11 years, fell in love with the job, never thought I'd end up doing it, until, and this is how I come to meet Athel and his family, until I was about year 10, I taught for 11 years, I was praying one day, and I heard the Lord say, get your house in order. It was just a voice boom. So get your house in order, and I didn't mention that my dad had passed away from cancer, and I took care of him, watched him take his last breath, but I thought what God meant was, it's time to go through dad's stuff, because I had put all his stuff in closets and hadn't done any grief, and so I started going through my dad's stuff, started grieving, crying, remembering, that kind of stuff, and another day as I was doing that, I heard the Lord say, travel light. And so I had this, get your house in order, and then I had travel light. And so I thought, I got to actually get rid of all dad's stuff. You know, I just felt this, I need to get everything down to a very small amount. So I started taking pictures of things, I'm very sentimental. I would smell his clothes as I was getting ready to either donate them or just toss them. And, you know, when you smell someone that's, you know, just end up as in a ball on the floor, just grieving and crying, and helped me get through the grief process, but got rid of all dad's stuff. Just kept one little box, actually, for my brother to go through. And so I thought I was free from all that, and I was quite free, but I went to a new job. First day of the job, this isn't it. And I went to fast and pray on my Christmas break, and I ended up down here at IHOP in 2009 and at the One Thing Conference, and they had Lauren Cunningham from this place called YWAM, which I never heard of, speak. And when he spoke, he did a call to missions, and God spoke to my heart, that's what I've been talking about. And so it was travel light, get your house in order. I'm calling you to be a missionary. And I was shocked, just absolutely shocked. And so I ended up in Hawaii at the YWAM base and gave up my job, my house. I'm bunking with Matt, eight guys, snoring, keeping me up at night. I pretty much hated it. I just did not like it at all. But I just loved being in the center of God's will, so it was kind of a love-hate thing. I knew I was supposed to be there and met awesome people. And so it's a long story, so I'm trying to go fast here. But how did I end up in the Philippines is what Athel forced me. It's all his fault. It was actually a really good thing, because what was happening, I don't know if you remember this, but that we were given 15 minutes, and it was, you have 15 minutes, if I remember correctly, go ask God where he wants you to go. And he had three choices. It was Philippines, South Africa, Brazil. And so I stood up, and I was happy they did that, because I was hearing from God quite clearly in that season. And I was like, oh, I'm glad that's what we're doing here at the school. I'm not just being told where to go. And so I got up, I heard God say, get your Bible. Got my Bible, read Philippians. I knew I was going to Philippines. And so for those 15 minutes, I read the book of Philippians, and it was confirmed again and again and again on that trip. It was like almost every message on Sunday mornings was about Philippians, and I learned things like cross-cultural, how Jesus left heaven, came to earth, cross-cultural ministry principles from Philippians, partnership in the gospel, prayer, and humility, things like that. To this day, that book has been a foundation for me to keep going back to. And so there was confirmation. When I was wrestling and preparing for to actually go to Hawaii, one day God had spoken to me, read Go. So I read Go everywhere in the Bible until I got to Genesis 12, which said, leave your father's household, go. And it was to the land I will show you. And I felt God was sending me to a specific land. So when I got to the Philippines, I prayed, Lord, is this the land? Is this the land? Because I felt total peace when I got there. And in came Paul, who was my team leader, and he said that God told him to show me a passage. And he sat next to me, opened the Bible, and I think I got it here. It said, it was Genesis 28:15, which said, I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. And so I sat there, having just prayed, Lord, is this the land? Paul, who I never told any of this to, came in, opened up the Bible to that one verse. And so I knew I was going back to the Philippines, and it was always this felt long-term call. It was a windy road. I didn't get there full-time until 2017 after doing a few terms with YWAM and then living in Hawaii, working with the Islander community there, and I actually worked as a youth pastor at a local church. And then 2017, God said, go, it's time to go, and so I went. And so I've been living in the Philippines, learning the language, learning the culture. My felt calling is integrate with the locals and just follow their lead, and God's has opened a lot of doors for me to just integrate and contribute as the locals ask. And so learning the language has been probably the toughest part. And I was told it's not intelligence, it's being stubborn that'll get me through it. So I keep going back to that and try and be stubborn and not give up. But it's been very rich and rewarding talking to people. So in their own language. So I think I got a few slides as far as what's been going on. This is a fun story to tell. And so this family I met in 2011 on my second term in YWAM, they lived across the base. We lived in the YWAM base. They lived on the side of the road. And one day, Jessamy, who's cooking, was carrying Justin, and his foot was bleeding. And so I went out there and just kind of bandaged it up, took care of him. And after that day, we bonded. So every time they would pass the base, we'd play games and stuff like that. And it got to the point where I met a family. The family invited me in, and myself and a family member would take the kids on trips. And I think the next slide might show something goofy we were doing. It was real fun. And so it got to the point that by the end of the trip, I left. I was crying. They were crying. And it was like, Lord, why did that happen? It just kind of happened. And was that even right? Was that right, Lord, that what I did? And stuff, is you getting that close and then leaving. But God has his ways, and it always felt like it had that God touch on it. So I went with it. And so what happened is when I got back there in 2017, I said a prayer one day, and it was 2017 is when I relocated to the Philippines, but I'm 5 hours away from where that all happened at, and I just don't know why, but I said, Lord, will I ever see those kids again? I never forgot about them. And so the next slide What happened is one of those kids, like a rose, who I bonded probably the closest with, she found me on Facebook. And she said, "Do you remember me?" And I broke down, you know. I broke down crying. I was like, "I just prayed, you know, will I ever see you again?" And we reconnected. And within 2 weeks, she got saved. And so what happened is she wrote that in half English, half Tagalog. But she posted that like on Facebook. But she had a classmate, invited her to a retreat. She met Jesus. She emails me. She says, "Kuya," means uncle. She goes, "I met Jesus. You know, he's real to me now." And so I think the next few slides will run through. That's the reunion. So that's the kids at when we reconnected, and it was about mid-2017. I can't remember exact when, but Leica is the one on my right that we're holding the Uno cards. And that's the rest of the kids, older. Jessamy now has her own kid. I think she got pregnant when she was 14. And so there's Justin, the kid in the white, whose foot I bandaged. So there we are. And so I think the next slide, I got to meet her discipleship class, got to see Leica at her church, and make, you know, kind of do the pastoral thing, make sure it's a good church, and it is, and she's really growing. And the next picture will show her cell group, so she meets and's got this growing friend group of peers who are also Christians. And we celebrate birthdays. So being 5 hours away, I go up there, you know, every few months, something like that when God opens the way. But they said that was the first time they actually ever had a birthday cake. So that was pretty special. So I was praying, Lord, it's obviously not all me. I'm 5 hours away. I'm doing my part. She tells me I'm like a second dad. Her dad has left a long time ago. But these guys entered the picture, Johnny and Elena, and they're YWAM base leaders that have a heart to plant a church in the same community as Leica and Jessamy and her family. And so the next picture will show that church. So now they've planted this church. We become close friends, and it's like a two-way street. I help them, they help me. And so I've been helping them a little bit on and off with this church plant, though I'm pretty far away, but I've been kind of coaching them in ministry, sustainability, and fundraising, things they were not taking care of themselves, like a lot of us don't do in ministry. So I've been working with them as I work on myself to try and be a healthy missionary, and they've been growing. They actually got their own place to live. They were living at debt on the base, and now they're in their own apartment off the base, which is really good for them, and they got four kids. But they're doing awesome work. That's Jessamy's daughter, so she's got a place to go to church. So it's a beautiful story that you know, you don't go out there trying. There's no way you can make it happen. It just happened. And so, I forgot I had these. So what Johnny and I felt led to do, and Leica turned 18, is put on a debut. And so when a girl turns 18, you have a big thing. And so God made this all happen, and it was a cooperative effort with us all, is to give Leica this experience through her family. So we empowered the family to we did some fundraising, gave them what they needed as far as funds to decorate, food, Leica's dress, and family led the whole thing. And so that's Leica's peer group. And what they do is 18 dances. So 18 dances with 18 boys, short dances that are respectful. It's a coming of age. And since there's no dad in the picture, and Leica's mom has been in that role, Leica wanted her mom to take the 18th dance, and there wasn't a dry eye in the room. And so it was a beautiful experience. And what Leica said is she'll never forget it, and that it was God. She's just felt God as her father, you know, stepping in and affirming her. So this is Leica's church in COVID, and I think I might have one more or not. Oh, okay. So it's a beautiful story. Just a few other things that are ongoing is God's integrated me with local Filipino ministries, and I'm learning the language and just pitching in, and we're doing training. And the one we're currently working on is the next slide, which is called Multiplying Hope, and it's using 7 Bible stories to address trauma. So God keeps highlighting trauma, getting more acquainted with how to be a healthy person addressing trauma through Bible stories. So this is a current project that we're working on. The other thing would be, it would be awesome, it might be the next slide, if you were willing to join the prayer team. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. I sent out like a real short prayer email weekly, and God gave this to me early on, is that this is critical. And I've seen him do miracles through it. And if it's several hundred people just saying, "Lord, save that person's soul," you know, it could be, you know, I'm not asking you guys to do more than you can handle, but if you're willing to just add a sentence or two and it's a chorus going up, I just would love to have you join that. So you can sign up, or there's more information in the back about the project I have, but I didn't want to make it about me this morning. But the main thing would be is sign up for the prayer team if you'd be willing to. That would be awesome. You could text 66866, and there's a process there that it'll lead you through. All right. But I want to get into a little scripture this morning. And we'll start with this question, too. This just came to mind kind of recently and reminds me of my own journey. But have you ever wondered or ever asked, do I matter? And if you're like me, the question may come, you know, it may have come up at some point in your life, or it may even be there now, as well as, am I loved? Am I loved unconditionally? And can I be forgiven? Have I gone too far? And the cross, which is up there, I was looking for the cross tonight, I was like, there it is. The cross answers all those questions, doesn't it? Now, if God was willing to step down and put on a body for one reason, and that would be to sacrifice it in order to make the way back for me and for you to come home. You know, he just wants us to come home. So it's a father wanting his children back. And Jesus willing to do the work, the Holy Spirit moving to reveal that to us. You know, I just wanted to not skip over that this morning. If you haven't heard that, you know, the message of the cross is simple. You matter, you're loved, and you can be forgiven. And it's as simple as saying your ABCs. Your ABCs. And that would be, you admit, you're willing to admit you need salvation. You admit you have sin, there's things you do that are wrong. You're willing to admit that. B, you're willing to believe that Jesus paid it all. You're bringing nothing to the table. You know, there's nothing you have to bring to the table. There's nothing you can bring to the table. Jesus paid for all those sins. And C, choose. Choose to accept that gift. Just choose to open your heart and say, yes, I want that. I want to come home. And then receive his presence. Receive the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. Admit, believe, and choose. And the decision's yours like it was mine. So maybe there's someone here today, like Dale, speaking through. And like God speaks, you know, you have to make a decision. And so that's for you to make. All right. Now moving on to our scripture for this morning. This verse came to mind. Is, I think, the next slide. All right. Okay, so I came from Grace Point Church, Michigan. I was on a road trip heading to Grace Point Church, Kansas City, and I had just met with Grace on the mission board at Grace Point, Michigan. And I said, "Lord, I think you want to talk about grace." And so this verse came to mind, which is, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.' Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong." I thought that went well with the prayer even Athos started with, and words I've even been hearing the word grace several times this morning. But hardships, and then there's God's grace. And so the next slide... I want to start in Acts, so we're going to be in Acts 27 if you like to follow along. Otherwise, I got words up. But what came to me was this: navigating stormy transitions. So navigating a stormy transitions, and there's grace for the journey. So I don't know about you, if you're going through or have gone or might go through a stormy transition, something unexpected, this is a reminder this morning that there's grace. There's grace for us to lean into and receive from the Lord. And we could even delight in our weaknesses and in our hardships. And so I'm just going to kind of go through in a devotional, kind of quick way, the story, and then just make a few points and trust that God speaks. So verse 1 says, When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius who belonged to the imperial regiment. So here, Paul is faithfully serving Christ. Paul is in the center of God's will, but he's a prisoner. So, you know, Christians' lives are not meant to be easy, right? So this was just reminded me of that. And also that the more surrendered we are to the Lord Jesus, the more he'll live his life through us, and the more we'll bear his image. And so Jesus himself was a prisoner, and he was crucified between two prisoners. Paul's a prisoner being led to testify about Jesus. And I just want to, I was caught by how much Paul bears the image of Jesus through the story. So keep that in mind and see if you can pick some of that out. I'm going to skip to verses 9 and 10 just for time's sake. They start their journey. Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was after the Day of Atonement, so Paul warned them. Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also. But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot. Is that me? Okay, I'll keep going. Instead of listening to what Paul said, follow the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. Now, what struck me here is, have you ever not been listened to, even though you had the correct thing to do? You're in the center of God's will. Life isn't easy. You think it's going one way, and you're already sacrificing and suffering. And then this happens. So it's like, right, the compounded reasons to worry or be upset or frustrated. So, you know, have you ever been in a situation where you haven't been heard? And how did that feel? And just how might have Paul felt in this case? And we have a choice. Frustration, anger, worry, or could we be at peace that we did what we could do and then can trust the results with God? So we can trust that we can take it to Jesus and lean on him. Amen. And we'll see that God ultimately is sovereign over what happens. So even though they make the wrong call, even though Paul says this is going to happen, God has the last word. God's going to have the last word. Okay, verses 13 and 14. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. And the word unprecedented came to mind because I'm so tired of the word unprecedented. But hurricane force winds are not unprecedented in the lives of Christians. Hardships are not unprecedented. Are you with me? So this is a hurricane force wind that kills you. It's not unprecedented. So if you ever get one and the news says, this is an unprecedented storm, no, it isn't. It's not unprecedented. We've been there before, we're there now, and we're going to continue to be there. But God's with us is the point. So when things go this wrong, it's not unprecedented. You're in chains, your advice was not listened to, now you're getting into a hurricane storm that you think is going to take everyone out. So verses 15 to 17, the ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure. So the men hoisted it aboard, then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. And so we just notice the normal emotion of fear. Life is out of control. And have you ever experienced being driven along? So you're going where that wind is taking you. As much equipment, as much anchors, as much stuff you have to work with, it isn't enough. You're being driven along. And so what touched me is just like how God is just so present in this, even though this is what's happening. So verses 18 to 20, we took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. Hopelessness. Hopelessness. But God's going to bring hope. God's going to bring hope. And so, if you notice here, the usual way of navigating the sun and stars, which God placed in the sky, right, on day four, for people to navigate life, the calendar, gone. So all means of navigating that they were used to were no longer present. And so perhaps there may be a time we have, are now, or may be, losing something that was there for us to guide, that we used to lean on, and it might not be there now. And it's okay, because God's still there. And in some cases, God's at work to help other people hit a bottom. And you may need to go through that process with them. Someone around you might need something like this to go on in order for them to hit a bottom, and God's asking you to walk through that with them. And perhaps God is bringing people to come to himself through this. This extreme of an event, this is what it took for these guys to get closer to God. So verses 21 to 26. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost, only the ship would be destroyed. Last night an angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" Now, a few things to point out here. When God brings disruption, God's messengers are more readily listened to. So Paul wasn't listened to at first, but now he's got an audience. So possibly the storms around us might be preparing our message that God's giving us to share with others. So the person who wasn't listened to at first now got some ears. You see that? All right. Paul pointed them to what God was doing. He's going to have to stand trial. And Paul shared this promise with God. And so, what promises has God given you for yourself to hold on to through someone else? And what promises has God given you to share with others? Hold on to all of them. Hold on to all of them. We see God's grace in sparing the lives of these guys, the whole ship. We see God's love. We see God's kindness. So Paul's words and actions were a guidepost when the sun and stars were not visible. And so I just was so reminded by Athos saying church. Remember church growth last week? Athos said church growth happens with one love and love one another. And I want to add today to that, love one another, including our enemies. Because you see Paul, so much grace being poured out by God through Paul to this crew who's taken him captive. Do we carry that grace of God in our hearts? Are we gracious like God is? So this is a reminder to carry Jesus, carry God's grace for the people that are giving us the hardest time. Build the bridge. And so that was said also last week by Athol, was build a bridge, not barriers, to Jesus. Okay, so moving on. Verses 27 to 32. On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea, when about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took surroundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took surroundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that they would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. But the men are praying now. They prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down at the sea, into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. Think about how Paul's faith is contagious. These guys were going to escape. They thought they were going to die and had enough faith at this point to let the lifeboat go. Are there lifeboats that we need to let go of in life that aren't for us to jump ship from whatever path God has us on? If there's a temptation, cut the ropes. Let the ship, let it go. If God's saying stay with it, stay with it, even if it's this tough. And so the crew is praying. The soldiers chose to have faith and courage and follow God's instructions through Paul. So there was a promise. There was continuing storm. Now there's instructions. They actually choose to follow and praise God. 33 to 38, just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. Now Paul's, think about how much love and care he has for his captors. For the last 14 days, he said, "You have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Think about what this looks like he's doing. It looks like Jesus at the Last Supper. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. Now this struck me that this is Communion Sunday. And I did not plan this. But they were taking communion in the middle of the storm. So if there's something going on today or any day, taking communion. And what did Jesus say that was? That was proclaiming his death until he returns. It's a proclamation of Jesus. Paul is proclaiming Jesus in the middle of this in a tangible way to his captors. Isn't that powerful? And so Paul is gracious. He's caring. He's proclaiming Christ. It sounds like even the words coming out of his mouth sound like Jesus. All hairs on your head are numbered. You remember when Jesus said that? All hairs on your head are numbered. Not one of you will lose a single hair from your head. You could see Jesus in Paul speaking. And he can do the same through us. And another thing is, in stressful times, the practical thing is here, self-care. There's a physical caring for, you need to eat. When things get that stressful, it's normal to lose your appetite. You guys need to eat. And caring for other people at that level and ourselves as well. Okay, and we'll finish with verses 39 through 44. So when daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach, but the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. You'd see God's sovereignty there. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. God did it. He did it. Man, it was a mess, but he did it. And so, if we look at this from the promise to the fulfillment of the promise, what a journey. To the point where they didn't see the fulfillment of the promise until they were grabbing planks and kicking. Are you with me? So the fluffy messages we sometimes hear about, you know, God's promises, yeah, they're going to happen, but we may have to jump in the middle of the storm and kick to shore. But you're doing it by faith because God said it, and you cut the ropes, and you stayed the course. Are you with me? So there's hope that if God said it, it's going to happen. But there's so much more going on. He's doing so much more. We need to just be open and connect with it. So the next thing I just kind of just a quick summary is hold on to God's promises for yourself and those that he's orchestrating for you to share with others, as he might be asking you to walk through their mess and their storm. Stay on God's path for you. Cut that ship if need be. Persevere. There was a lot of praying going on. Practice self-care. Don't forget to eat. It's going to be stressful. It's normal. Practice self-care. Give thanks. Paul gave thanks in the middle of the storm when he broke that bread. And proclaim Christ in the middle of it all. Do your part to the end, and you will see the fulfillment. You will reach his destination for you safely, and you will see God do what he said that he's going to do. Isn't that beautiful? And so, I don't think, if you ask Paul, how'd you make it through that? He's going to say it was because of what a strong person I am. I don't get that sense that that's what Paul would have said. I think what scripture came to me was this, is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Apply that to his journey on that boat. And so when you're in that sort of situation, you can do it too, through Christ who's in you. Make it through while proclaiming Christ. And then the verse I have into a communion would be, this came to mind, I think is the last one. Is there one more verse up there? So let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. He's there. His throne is a throne of grace, and that grace would give us the power and ability we need to make it through, stay the course, and proclaim Christ through it all. So it's a joy to be here. Please don't forget to sign up for the prayer team. It's his grace that I'm here in one piece today, standing before you. And I know some of you can say that as well. So praise God for his grace, and that in his sovereignty, he made that the name of the church. Grace is the point. All right, love you all. Let's turn this off.
Thank you so much, Joe. What a joy and a privilege to see also the journey that the Lord has taken him on over these 12 years. And I know I've only seen a part of the story of what God has done in his life, and it is so good. We're going to transition now into sharing the Lord's Supper together as a church. And I want to remind you that this table is open to anyone that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And we, as Joe said, we get to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We get to proclaim the gospel through this. And Matt is currently teaching the GPU class on hearing God's voice. And but our relationship with Jesus, that ability to hear God's voice, is only because of what this represents, of how that veil was torn between the relationship with God. The veil in the temple was torn. We can enter into the Holy of Holies and encounter the living God in a relationship with him because of our position before God right now, because of the gospel message. And Jesus is the great high priest. Jesus is that great high priest interceding for us. And Joe, you know, we kind of, on Friday, we're talking backwards and forwards about what he's going to be sharing. And I had already planned, and he had already planned, Hebrews 10 to talk about, because I think it is one of the greatest passages of encouragement for us. And verse 19 to 22, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. I want to spend a few moments just where you're sitting, just to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to challenge you. if there's anything that the Lord brings to mind that you need to repent of, maybe even someone you need to go to and speak to, I encourage you to do that now. Just spend a few moments in quiet prayer of repentance, allowing the Holy Spirit to search us, search our hearts, as we prepare ourselves to participate in this meal together. So let's do that for a few moments. Lord, we thank you so much for these elements that speak of what you have done for us. We thank you for this cup that reminds us of your blood that was shed for our sins. Even as we were looking at 1 John 1:9, you're faithful to wash us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Lord, for the cup. We thank you, Lord, for the bread that is a picture, a symbol of your body that was broken for us. And we thank you for the bread this morning. We thank you, Lord, for what this table represents in more than just a tradition that we do, but it is the gospel being proclaimed, the good news being proclaimed. And we thank you for that this morning. And as we participate, as we eat and drink together, Lord, I pray that you would bless us. Bless us in unity. Bless us in love for one another. Bless us as we even leave to proclaim what you have done for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The deacons who are serving, would you come up and join me? So what we're going to do this morning is, as we did the last time, the deacons will be standing up front here by each section. So we need someone for the middle. So Bob and Matt will take the middle. And then just come forward and receive your elements and from them. But but what I want to do to today is, this is personal. We normally eat and drink together, but I want you, when you take the elements back to your seat, prayerfully take the elements yourself, as it is a personal relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. So I invite you to do that this morning. So you can start coming forward to receive your elements now. Thank you. I just want to do one other thing today before we leave. And but as you leave today, we're also going to be taking up a benevolence offering. And I think Lawrence will be at the door on the way out. And this is if you have a small gift to be able to give to help people in our community. We always take a benevolence offering when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. And so as you leave, you encouraged to do that as you can. But Nelson, why don't you come forward? You can bring the whole family. So one of our family is heading out. And even as we had Joe come in this morning, and also Miguel and Jennifer Dominguez are in Bolivia right now, I believe. Bolivia. And so be praying for them as well. They snuck out, and they're heading there to visit family, but also to do some ministry there. But Nelson is heading to Zambia. Do you want to share briefly where you're going?
Yes. So we're going to Zambia for 18 days. That would be too long. But by myself, with a team, that means he's going to stay and take care of two of them. Mostly we're doing the first part will be doing serving in the orphanage. That's the organizations or the ministry being planting there for years, and then be able to help in there, and then also share gospels to the village. And then the other part will go to another part of the Zambia and do a large event crusade, pray for people, pray for healings, all that. So yeah, just really need a prayers. Yesterday we sent our leaders to go there before us, and at the road the van just broke down, and so all the things happening, just like we're being aware that it is really happened already. Is the outreach already happens? So need a prayer to carry us on. Yes.
I'm just adding a little bit. Like what's happening spiritually about this trip. Like Nelson says that the outreach is already happening. So yesterday morning I woke up with a very strange dream. I don't usually get this kind of dream, but when I do know what that is, because I was in this, somehow, long story short, I end up in this room and I saw this man on the ground, and he somehow I saw how he ended up there. He was wounded on his face and his legs because of something in that room, and I got scared and I have to leave. So on my way out, and I just saw all these strange people, and I just feel like they're not just people, they're like an evil spirit. And I tried to go through it, and there's this tiny little thing that just got into my back. And then I felt a cold metal ring on my neck. And I immediately in my dream, I start praying in tongue, and I try to get rid of it. And that's when Enoch woke up, and I woke up as well. So I woke up, I start to pray, and I pray like, what this is it? Like, what is this dream is about? And I really just felt the Lord says, this is a pre-warning about this Africa trip. And my team has prayed as well, and we all went to Mark 5. And Mark 5 is there this man was possessed by the legion of the evil spirit. But then what happened, like what's glorified to Jesus is that what glorified to Jesus is that that man with madness came to Jesus by himself, saying that, Holy Son of the Most High God, what have you want to do with me? You know, before the Lord, all this has nothing. This is nothing. All right, just give us a second. You know? So, yes, and just before Jesus, all this evil spirit, and they shall bow. They shall all bow before our God. And then the verse this morning came to me was that Isaiah 61, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the freedom for the captives, and release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, in the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And they will be called ox of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. I think this is what this trip is about. And that the Lord sends all team, including Nelson, and going to proclaim the good news to all these poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to set the man who is wounded and captive, set prison. And the Lord says that the spirit is a spirit of witchcraft, and we just proclaim that we're in front of the Lord. The spirit of witchcraft shall gone. Like, they shall bow down before the Lord. They come running. There's nothing in front of him. But we do need our families here to pray, to standing behind us. You know, just like Hebrew 12, a cloud of witnesses. We need one another. We need you guys to stand behind us, to know that we are going onto a battle. And it's not so, it's a fancy tree we're going. No, we're going into a battle. It's a warfare laying before us. So with all these dreams, the van broke down, just all kind of like warfare is starting already. But we declare, we're going to declare the year of the, this is saying that proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, because the people there, they need to hear God's love, God's freedom, and God's salvation. And we just thank you, even like appreciate that we're sharing the Lord's Supper together. And we in the blood of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus, we get to do this. And we just thank you. Thank you for all who support us in finance, in prayers. And we're going to need every more of it. Just thank you so much.
So what I want to do is I'm going to pray for them now, but I would encourage you to come as we close the service, just to come up and pray for them as the Lord leads you. You know, just gather around them. But and I'm going to close the service by praying for them. But one thing I also want to share is, you know, Debbie and I have done a lot of outreaches and ministry in the continent of Africa, and witchcraft is something that's very much in your face. It's not hidden, and it happens all the time. And one of the things that the enemy uses to attack is he attacks the children and the wives left behind while the husband goes on ministry. So we need to pray for ye and the children specifically as well in this time, because that's the rear guard that we need to pray for. And I am looking forward to the testimony that's going to come out of this. So we want to hear what God does, because it's going to be glorious. So I know you got to keep the kids, but let's pray. Would you stand with me, and let's pray for them. Lord, we thank you so much that we do not go as those who are uncertain of the message that we have, but we go with the power of the gospel message. We go with the authority of Jesus Christ, because you've said all authority has been given to me, and therefore go. And I pray for Nelson as he goes. I pray for his team, Lord, that he would walk in the authority of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would surround him with angels. I pray for his protection. I pray, Lord, for the words that he speaks would be words of authority and words of power. Lord, that you would use him mightily. And then, Lord, that we would see what you have done and give you glory. And we thank you, Lord, for the promises of Isaiah 61, Lord. Yes, that is truly what he is going to do. And so we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray for ye, and I pray for the children. Lord, I pray for their protection. Lord, that you would set angels to guard and protect them, warrior angels to guard their home and their covering and their protection. And Lord, that nothing, no plans of the enemy would come to fruition, Lord, that it would be completely thwarted by your power and your protection. We love this family, Lord, and we pray your blessing over them. We pray, Lord, for every mile that Nelson travels would be guarded and protected by you. And Lord, that you would use him and his team mightily for the kingdom of God, for the glory of God. We pray this. I thank you, Lord, for our church family. Thank you, Lord, for this morning being able to celebrate together, being able to worship together. And Lord, as we leave, we pray that you would consistently, as you have and will always do by your promises, be with us, protect us. And Lord, that we would love one another and love the world around us by your power, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. And you're dismissed. You can come forward and pray for this family as you can. Thank you.